Good to see everyone that's here this morning. We have quite a few out because of illness today, and we pray for them. I was also handed a note just a moment ago. Will you do a special prayer for Patsy Bird, please? She was having a rough time while struggling with her knee situation, and she's in the hospital. So when we have a request for that, let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all your blessings, and come before you at this time for Patsy Bird and for others also who are suffering because of illness or difficulty at this time. We pray that your blessings will be upon them and strengthen and comfort and heal them if it is your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the book of 1 John in chapter 3 and verse 9, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "Whosoever is begotten of God does no sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because his seed abides in because he is begotten of God." And we read that passage, and sometimes there are people in the world that teach that once we are saved, we cannot lose that. That no matter what we do after that, then God's still going to forgive and take us home to be with the Lord. And so sometimes the question comes up, well, can we be lost or are we going to be saved? And how do we know that? Sometimes 1 John 3 and verse 9 is used by people to claim that once we have salvation, there's nothing we can do from that day forward to lose it. Well, the Bible doesn't really teach that. And one time I was having a discussion with a man who said, who believed that once you're saved, you're always saved. There's nothing you can do to lose that salvation before God. And he said, I couldn't go to bed at night if I thought that I wasn't sure whether I was saved or not. So the question is, how can we be sure? How can we know that we are saved by the will of God? And how do we look at that? And how do we put our faith and our trust in God, ultimately, to know that because we believe and obey the will of God, that we're going to be saved eternally. And God wants us to be able to have that confidence that we're going to have eternal salvation because we have believed Him and we have obeyed Him. So we go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 John 3 and verse 9, he says, "Whosoever is begotten of God." Some translations say born of God, but the same, it's from the same word concerning that. So notice what John says. I'm going to take this step by step from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 in particular. And he says, "Whosoever is begotten of God." Very first word there, "whosoever." That means anyone that is included when we are faithful to God, when we believe Him, and when we obey Him. And we continue in that kind of situation in our faith in God. That means no one is excluded who believes and obeys the will of God as long as we make a decision to remain faithful to Him. So he says, "Whosoever is begotten or born of God." Okay, we look at that. How are we born or begotten of God? We look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. The Apostle Peter says, "Having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." So we are begotten of God. We are born of God by our faith and our belief in the Word, the message of God that He has given to you and me. Just as we partook of the Lord's Supper a little while ago, and it was read to us concerning the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. When we put our faith in that, and we understand that that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ for our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus I begat you through the gospel." So they were born again in Corinth because Paul came and preached the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to them. They believed it and they were willing to obey the things the Lord commanded. And also it is through self-sacrificing love. 1 John 1, verse, chapter 4, verse 7 says, everyone that loves is begotten of God. And then in verse 8, it says, because God is love. The essence of God's nature is love for us. That's why he allowed Christ to come to the earth. That's why he sent him to this earth. And why Christ came, because of his love for us. That he was willing to go to the cross and go through all the suffering that he did for me and for you. We didn't deserve it. We don't earn it. We couldn't possibly do enough things in our entire lifetime to deserve eternal salvation. But it comes through faith. And 1 John 5 and verse 1 says, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. So belief, faith, is the foundation of everything else. And as long as we don't turn our back on that faith, God is not going to turn his back upon us. But it's also through obedience to the gospel of Christ. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus didn't understand. He said, Lord, I'm an old man now. How can I go back and back into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said in John 3, verse 5, except one be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of the water is being baptized into Christ. Born of the Spirit is by the Word, the message of the gospel, which God revealed to us, which God, the Holy Spirit, gave to the apostles and prophets to write for you and me. So when we believe that and we obey it, we are born again. We are brought again into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Well, how can we know then that we are begotten of God? Well, in Romans 8 and verse 16, the Bible says there, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when we believe and obey the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit is with us and with our spirit, and he is the one that puts the stamp of approval upon our life and on our hearts and minds and upon our eternal salvation. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we believe and we obey what the Spirit has revealed to you and me. And it's not by some miraculous power, but it's by our faith and obedience. And by our faith, we understand that the Spirit bears witness that we are, in fact, the children of God. He puts his stamp of approval, the Father's stamp of approval, and Christ's stamp of approval. All three of the Godhead also approve of us when we believe and obey the gospel of Christ. And it's a commitment we make from that day forward. And as long as we hold on to that commitment, if we don't turn our back upon God and his will, we're going to be saved eternally. God has promised that. If it is the Holy Spirit then that bears witness, how do we know that we have the Spirit? By our faith and obedience. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, Peter on that occasion says, the Holy Spirit whom God gave to them that obey him. So there is faith. That's the foundation of everything else. And then we must obey what God requires of you and me. And in that day, at that time, when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ in baptism, are raised to walk in new life, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit from that day forward that we are the children of God. Unless we make a decision that we turn away from God. The book of Ephesians, we are warned in chapter 4 not to grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? By turning away from the will of God and turning to our own ways and our own devices. Well, what do we obey? Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, on the day of Pentecost, when the people surrounding Peter and the other apostles heard them preach, and Peter explained to them that they had crucified the Son of God. You have crucified Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And they said, what shall we do? They wanted to be relieved of the guilt of the sin of crucifying Christ. They said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so that's what they did. 3,000 on that day obeyed, and they received the gift of the Spirit, which is the dwelling of the Spirit within us to be our guide and our comforter. And the seal of the Spirit's approval of us is that we have believed and obeyed the gospel. And we remain faithful to that by means of our continuing belief and obedience to every day we live in our service to God. And as long as we do that, God will be with us and give us the promise of eternal life. So he says, "Whosoever is begotten of God does not sin." Now, some people take that to mean that's just a blanket statement, and once we're saved, we cannot sin beyond that time. But that's not what he's talking about. You have to understand the context of the passage there. We cannot sin doesn't mean that we cannot sin in the sense that we'll never do anything wrong. Because we know as human beings, every day we live, we fall short of God's glory. We don't live up to what we ought to be. And we know that. And so we do sin. We do sometimes turn away from God, even when we try our best to be faithful to the commitment that we have made. And so the idea there is that it means we cannot sin if we turn our ways to God. Whosoever is begotten of God does not sin. And the phrase literally means he who is not continuing to be sinning. The idea of sin there is not one time, but it's some way a way of life that we fall back into and continue to live in sin. If we do that, then we're going to turn our back upon God, and God's not going to save us. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" It seems some of the people in the church of Rome thought that if God's grace was given because we sin, and that's a blessing from God, then let's just go ahead and sin more, then we'll get more grace. Paul says, no, that's not the way it works. If we continue in sin, God's grace is not going to be extended. In fact, he goes on to say, "We who died to sin, how can we live any longer therein?" Well, the answer is we cannot. And so the idea is we cannot, when we are begotten of God, we're not going to sin or to live in a condition of sin every day. Yes, sometimes we're going to sin and fall short. But if we repent, if we ask God for forgiveness, acknowledge our sinful condition, God wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to have the promise of eternal life. So how do we live so that we don't continue to live in sin? Well, we look at what the Apostle Paul, for example, said in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, after talking about being saved by the grace of God, we are saved by grace through faith, says, "It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works that man should boast." So we can't boast about our salvation. We can't boast because of how great we are, and how we can't do any of that because we're not. But Ephesians 2 and verse 10, he goes on to say, he says there, "For we are his workmanship." We are God's workmanship when we believe and obey the gospel and receive salvation by his grace. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God before prepared that we should walk in them." We're not saved by our own good works, but we are prepared by faith and obedience to accept the good works that God gives us every day to do, for kindness and love and concern about those who are around us, for helping other people when we can do that, by teaching, by example, and by word of mouth, the message of the Word of God. That's how we remain faithful. That's how we are his workmanship. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, he says, we are to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. Well, when we think about that for a moment, think, well, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to be a child of God. No, none of us are. But because of God's grace and mercy, we are forgiven completely of the sins we have committed before. And he's going to take us home to be with him if we walk in a worthy manner to the best of our ability. And when we don't, he will forgive. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Every day we live, if we walk in the light of God, the blood of Christ is cleansing you and me from every sin that we commit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, walk in love, even as Christ also loved you. Again, the term walk in Ephesians means the everyday existence that we have, the way we live our life. Ephesians 5:2 says, walk in love, even as Christ loved you. Now, that's kind of a tall order for us. We are to love God, we're to love Christ as they have loved us. Well, that's a self-sacrificing love. Jesus set the greatest example of all when he went to the cross. At any time, he could have delivered himself. He had the power to do so, but he didn't. He went through with a beating and all of the things that happened to him, and then being nailed to the cross and for hours there on the cross, and horrible pain and suffering physically and spiritually and emotionally. Jesus went through that for you and me. Well, John's greatest joy in his old age, in 3 John verse 4, he says, greater joy have I none than this, than to hear of my children walking in truth. Well, John could say that because he had brought so many people to Christ and they were remaining faithful. And that's what the idea is. Every day we live, we try our best to serve God, and we fall short and we sin, but God's going to forgive. And that's the idea of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. So he says then, whosoever is begotten of God does not sin, because his seed abides in him. And there's the point of that verse. Sometimes people stop in the first part. Whoever is begotten of God does not sin. And they want to stop right there. Say, okay, that means once I'm a Christian, I can't sin, so I'm going to be saved and I can go live however I want. That's kind of the implication of that idea. That's not what this passage is teaching. Why is it that we do not sin? It says, because his seed abides in us. Whose seed is it that abides in us? Well, it's God's. You go back to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus told the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow the seed. Excuse me. To sow the seed. And as he did so, some fell in good ground, some fell along by the road, and it was eaten by the birds. And some fell in stony ground, and it kind of grew for a little while, and there was no real root to it, so it died out. And that's the parable of the sower. Now, when they came to Jesus and said, tell us the meaning of this parable. And Jesus said in Luke 8 and verse 11, he says, the seed is the word of God. So in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, he says, whosoever is begotten of God does not sin, because his seed abides in him. The word of God is the guide and example in our lives. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul said on the occasion, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now Paul was simply saying he had come to Corinth first, and he started the church there, and he was there for a while. And later on, Apollos came and built upon what Paul had started. Apparently, if you read through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, Paul was very good at starting the churches, and Apollos was very good to come in afterward and build up from there. And that each had their own talent. In James chapter 1, verse 21, It says, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So the word of God, this implanted word, this seed of God. 1 John 3:9 says, as long as that dwells and lives in us, we're not going to turn our back upon God. We're going to be faithful to Him. And when we do sin, we're going to be forgiven. But notice, because His seed abides in Him. The word abide there means to continue in that condition. Not maybe one day we are, another day we're not, and we're always going back and forth between living in sin and living in Christ. But we're trying to be faithful. And as long as we do that, the Word of God is going to direct us to be faithful and to be righteous as best we can. And when we fall short, the grace of God forgives us, forgives our sin. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's how we are to continue in that. We can never come to a time in our life that we think, well, I already know enough. I don't have to go back and study it anymore. We never come to that point. As long as we understand that and continue to study and learn, we're going to be faithful to God. In James 1, verse 25, he says, he that looks into the perfect law of liberty and so continues, being a hearer, not a hearer that forgets, but a doer of the work, that man's work shall be blessed. Shall be blessed in the doing of the work of God. That's what God wants of you and me. Luke, of course, provides a good example in Acts chapter 27, where Paul and those who are with him, they are out on the Mediterranean Sea. They had been tossed back and forth for a good while in the storms that were there. They were all afraid they were going to be lost. And there were some that decided, while nobody was looking, they were going to drop the lifeboats from the ship and they'd get away and they'd be saved. Well, Paul said in Acts 27 and verse 31, he says, except these abide in the ship, or you cannot be saved. God had promised Paul in a vision that everybody on that ship would be saved, their life would be. Now the ship would be destroyed and everything in it, but the people would be saved. Paul says if these people leave, then they're not going to make it. They're going to die. So they all stayed and they were saved as exactly as God had told them. Well, the principle for us, if we remain in the place of safety, which is in the grace of God, by our faith and by our obedience, we're going to have the promise of eternal life. And it's not going to be taken away from us. So he says, whosoever is begotten of God does not sin because the seed abides in him and he cannot sin. Again, the idea is that we can't continue to live in a sinful condition. And that's the idea. If it did mean that it's impossible for us to sin, then there's a lot of verses in the New Testament that would be meaningless. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. He says, you who would be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. But if you can't fall from grace, how could Paul say in Galatians 5, you can fall from grace? Well, what would cause them to be fall away from the grace of God? He's writing to people that wanted to go back and reinstate the law of Moses. Well, that had been taken out of the way by Christ on the cross. They want to go back to that. Paul says, if you do, he says, you are justified. You want to be justified by the law, you're falling away from the grace of God. James chapter 5 and verse 19. Another passage that would not have a meaning, a true meaning, if we're saved and then we can't lose it after that. James 5 verse 19. He says, my brethren, if any among you err from the truth and one convert him. Now notice, one who already is in the truth of God, and they turn away from that and begin living in sin. So it says, if any err from the truth and one convert him, so he has to be converted and brought back to the Lord. Let him know that he who converts a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall cover a multitude of sins. Someone believes and obeys the gospel, turns away from it, and refuses to come back. Says he is lost, in a lost condition. But if he comes back, he says, you will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And so that wouldn't be possible if you couldn't sin so as to be lost once you come into Christ. So what is this idea of cannot sin? In other words, cannot go back to the practice of sin every day. In Romans 6 and verse 2, we mentioned it early, a little before, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He who died to sin, how can he live any longer therein? When we go into the water of baptism, we die to sin. We come up out of that renewed. And in Romans chapter 6, he says, we are buried with him in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. So we go back to 1 John 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is begotten of God does not sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is begotten of God. This is why we cannot sin, because we are God's people. We are trying to serve him. Now, yes, we can turn our back on God. We can turn our back on the family of God. Just like in this life, we're born into a family, and at some point in time, we turn our back upon that family and go our own way. We're no longer, we may be physically a part of that family, but we're not really anymore. The same principle applies spiritually. We may be born again into the family of God. If we turn our back upon God and turn to sin and continue in that condition, no longer are we going to be a part of the family of God. And we're not promised eternal salvation either. We have to be penitent and prayerful when we do sin and ask God to forgive. So when should we make a confession of that? Well, every day we live to God, because we know that we sin, we fall short of what we ought to be. Sometimes a sin is such that it's well known, and maybe we need to come back and then publicly admit the sin that we have committed or the life that we have lived. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise to you and me. If we come into Christ, we believe and obey the gospel, and we turn away from him for a while, and we come back, and we repent of our sins and truly confess that we have sinned and ask for forgiveness. He wants to forgive. God wants you and me to be saved eternally. But we have to be willing to face up to that, to the sin we have committed. We can't blame somebody else. We can't blame the situation we were in. We have to look at ourselves and face up to that and be willing to admit it. And when we do so, God wants us to be saved. He wants to forgive. But we have to make the decision that we're going to do so. We go back to 1 John 3. He says, whosoever is begotten of God does no sin because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is begotten of God. Now, even though that passage is sometimes misused and interpreted the wrong way, doesn't mean that we have to do that. We have to look at it, what it really says, and we have to understand that God wants us to be saved eternally. Now, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, 1 John 5 and verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even to you that believe on the name of the Son of God. If we believe on the name of the Son of God, truly believe, and we obey the gospel of Christ, and we continue in that faith, we're going to be saved eternally. That's God's promise. Now again, sometimes we talk about how we can sin and be lost, and yes, we can, but God doesn't want it that way. He allowed Christ to die for you and me so that we could be saved eternally. And all he wants of us is to believe him and to obey him and do our best to follow him in life. Again, we're going to fall short, but by his grace, he will forgive. This morning, if there's a need in your life, if you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord. Jesus says, come, and I will give you rest. But we have to make the decision. If you need to come this morning, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.